I wonder what kind of week you've had. Mine's been a colourful week. You may know that Joanna and I are planning to move on Easter, and we're working out our schedule, our priorities, and we were due to have a builder move in tomorrow to start major renovation work on this small property we're buying in Southampton. Timing's very tight. There's an awful lot to do in the next 8 weeks. And then this week, the builder got in touch to say he's got to have an operation this week. And can we please put back the start to February? And I was reminded of this verse, to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving? Present your request to God. Easter Sunday, our last Sunday here, is the very day we fixed 3 years ago, not knowing it was going to be Easter Sunday, to return our car. My car goes back to its owner, the garage. It's not a good day to say goodbye to your car when you are about to leave. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. And some of you following our trials and tribulations will know that on Christmas Day, the most demanding day of the year in the life of a cooker, ours decided to go on strike. And I had to come down here and roast the vegetables and the potatoes in the church cooker. It's certainly a lot better than the one we have at the vicarage. It's not fixed yet. Hopefully he's coming tomorrow to repair it. So I'm learning to cook with a toaster, a grill, and a microwave. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Well, that's my week. What about yours? Has it been an anxious week for you? Any sleepless nights? In our series, Transforming Church, Transforming Lives, and our membership scheme, we've come to the spiritual discipline of prayer. How do we develop a personal prayer life? Well, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to discover no greater antidote to worry than a conversation with the Lord. We're going to observe the reason for praying regularly, the rhythm to praying regularly, and the result of praying regularly. Well, let's read the passage together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4:4-9. Notice, first of all, the reason for praying regularly. The Lord is near, do not be anxious about anything. Do you see the juxtaposition of those two sentences? We tend to focus on don't be anxious, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. But the context is the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Near in what sense? He's near in space, closer than our breath, by His Spirit. He's with us. He's near. But he's near in time too. At the 8 o'clock this morning, one of the elderly congregation said, "You've been here 20 years, it's gone very quickly." Well, in the twinkling of an eye, this life is but a breath. The Lord is near in time and in space. Or what is it that we are not to be anxious about? Everything. Everything. Do not be anxious about some things? No. Do not be anxious about anything. That word anxiety, it
It's a very powerful word. It means to be pulled in different directions. In fact, in the Old English, it has to do with being strangulated. A lady came to see me this week, a different lady to last week. And she said, I've got three things to say to you. I thought, oh, good, three things. She said, first, just making sure she's not here. The first thing she said was, you need to be a more assertive leader, like the Reverend A. I thought, okay, getting a bit late for that. Second, she said, you need to be more of a pastor like Reverend B. Okay. And then, wait for it, third. You need to learn to preach like Reverend C. She clearly has the gift of discouragement. I thanked her. I listened and I thanked her. You know, we can focus on prayer and think that prayer is the answer. It's not. It's a means to an end, isn't it? It's a means to an end. In fact, we shouldn't even be thinking about prayer as we pray. Let me give you an illustration. Do you remember the first time you saw this book? How it became the most important book in your life? It may even have supplanted the Bible temporarily as you read it, digested it, memorized it. And thankfully, when I had the Highway Code, this one didn't exist. I hate to think what would happen to me now if I had to do that. But some of you have had both by your bedside table, on your bedside table. And if someone had said to you, what are you doing? You'd said, well, I'm reading the Highway Code. And if they'd said, why are you reading the Highway Code? They'd said, because I need to pass my test. But that's not why you were reading the Highway Code. Oh, why were you reading the Highway Code? Because I wanted my first car. No, that wasn't the reason you were reading the Highway Code. Well, I was reading the Highway Code because I wanted to learn to drive. No, that's not the primary reason you're reading the Highway Code. I know. I wanted to be a safe driver on the road. No, that wasn't the reason you were memorizing the Highway Code. Why were you reading the Highway Code? Those were means to an end, weren't they? You wanted to be able to travel, to meet friends and family, to go shopping, to get to work. That was the reason. Learning the Highway Code, passing the test, getting a car, learning to be a safe driver, those were means to an end. And it's the same with prayer. We can be so preoccupied with prayer that it supplants the very thing it was intended to achieve. Prayer is simply talking with God, listening to God. And worry and prayer are like water and oil. They do not mix. You're either doing one or you're doing the other. When we worry, we're saying, God, you're not big enough for this. I can do this in my own strength. You need a bit of help. Prayer or worry? If anyone had any reason to worry, it was Paul. His friends in Philippi were disagreeing with each other. He wasn't there to help, and on top of that, he didn't know how long he was going to live. He had every reason to worry. You know the definition of a pessimist? It's an optimist with information. If you're not worrying now, maybe you're not fully appreciative of your condition. We have plenty of reasons to worry, which is why we should pray. The antidote is prayer, conversational prayer, spontaneous prayer, regular prayer. Prayer with words, prayer without words. Prayer isn't about techniques, about formulas. I hate that expression, the power of prayer, because it's focusing on prayer. We don't celebrate the power of prayer. We pray to a powerful God, a God who is near. The Lord is near. The reason for praying regularly. Secondly, notice the rhythm to praying regularly. Rejoice in the Lord always by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. present your requests to God. Three different words are used there. That word prayer has with it the connotation of adoration, devotion, worship. That's why we're told to rejoice twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Prayer must begin with adoration. Because unless it does, we're not thinking of the one we're praying to. When we're thinking of the one we're praying to, how can we not adore him and praise him and thank him for who he is? Adoration dwells on the greatness and the power and the majesty and the splendor and the glory of God. And when we're focusing on him, we're not thinking about our anxieties. Adoration. Petition. Petition. That's sharing the needs of others especially. It has with it a sense of urgency, petitioning, intensity, concern. When people came to Jesus, what did he say to them? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do? Is it clear in our prayers what we are asking the Lord to do? Because if it's not, we won't be clear when he's answered those prayers. And we won't be persistent in continuing to pray those prayers. It's a helpful question to have in your minds when we pray. What do you want me to do for you? To avoid prayer becoming monotonous, I've used a very simple system to help me in my prayers. And in the outline, there's a copy. You can cut it out, stick it in your Bible. If you find it helpful, use it. If you don't, give it to someone else. There is a rhythm in my week. Diversity. Creativity. Many people use the church family directory to pray for one another. I'm sure you can improve on this. You can personalize it. But I commend it to you in your desire to develop your personal prayer life. Because at the heart of prayer is intercession, prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father rejoices, enjoys hearing us say thank you. Thank you. It's a sign of our trust and our appreciation. Too often we're eager to ask and slow to appreciate. Because we forget his provision in the past, we inevitably doubt his faithfulness in the future. So the more we are thankful, the more we will have confidence to continue to pray. Three dimensions to the rhythm of praying: adoration, intercession, and thanksgiving. The reason for praying regularly, the rhythm for praying regularly, and finally, the result of praying regularly. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, and the God of peace will be with you. This is our motivation in praying regularly. It's like the bookends in this passage. We will have the peace of God because we know the God of peace. Because we know the God of peace, we will have the peace of God. And in the middle, the word God. That word God is a military term. It describes a garrison of soldiers. God will literally guard you with his peace. The secret isn't prayer. It's not a magical technique. Do this and God will act. It's being in his presence, surrounded by his angels, surrounded with his arms. The God of peace will give us the peace of God. So regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what other people say about us, regardless of what the world may throw at us, we can experience the power of God, the peace of God, and the presence of God when we pray. And it's a fact of life that we only really appreciate something when we lose it. Many countries, Christians are liable to be arrested and imprisoned if they are caught praying together. This week, Christianity Today reported that for the third year in a row, the persecution of Christians worldwide has hit another record high. It's getting worse. But the primary reason, Islamic extremism, now has a rival, ethnic nationalism. Ethnic nationalism. That's the primary motivation for the new charity we're founding, Peacemaker Mediators. Wherever the church is under-resourced, marginalized or persecuted, wherever human rights are denied or reconciliation needed. Many other great charities are focusing on the consequences of suffering and war. We will seek to address the causes. Those who suffer for their faith can identify with the prophet Daniel, who found peace through prayer. When King Darius announced that the subjects should only pray before a statue of himself, what does Daniel do? Every reason to be anxious. But instead he went to his room, he opened the windows, and he prayed as before. He broke the law because he would rather obey the law of God. Daniel 6 says that he prayed and gave thanks before his God and made supplication. You see those three: prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. The same pattern in Philippians. And the result was perfect peace. He slept well. And the irony is that while he was sleeping peacefully, his king was unable to sleep. So if you can't sleep tonight, if you find yourself tempted to worry this afternoon, remember, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the God of peace will be with you. If you want to develop your personal prayer life, I commend to you this passage. Remember the reason for praying regularly, the rhythm to praying regularly, and the results of praying regularly. Let's pray together. Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated to you. And then use us, we pray, as you will, and always for your glory and the welfare of your people. And may indeed the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds safe in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we learn to be faithful in prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.